You're listening to DraftKings Network.
What's going on, guys? Ellie from Copper 9 here. You might not know who I am, but I've got nothing better to do. So watch the Soccer Cooligans talking all things football, politics, music, culture. Swipe up, click the link,
do
something.
That'll do. That'll perfect.
Hi, Bobby!
Yes. There it is, folks.
Let's go. And you know what? Welcome to the show. Hello. My name is Christian Polanco.
I am Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians.
Uh-huh.
That host the funniest live Twitch show.
Uh-huh.
On Twitch.
And it also happens to be that we're your favorite stand-up comedians that host the gulliest show. On el Twitch.
On el Twitch, that's right. And we can, and we should announce, we'll make the announcement because somebody, I believe it was Ian, probably not Ian, that made this suggestion last week. But everybody, you all need to know, and you're all a part of this, but go to www.eltwitch.com.
That's okay. Twitch with an E at the end, eltwitch.com. And it brings you right to our search because we are at Twitch.
And it brings you right back here. So if you go to twitch.com, you will be going to the Cooligans Twitch channel. So how fun is that? A fun, nice, and organic thing, you know, and we can just get a domain name, okay? We can do dumb stuff with domains. It's always really fun.
And here's what I want to say. We're not, right? We're on streaming, okay? You know what I mean? We're not making Bentley money, but we are making stupid URL money, okay? When we started saying it, Twitch, Christian and I put our change together, and we got a dumb URL, baby.
Okay, look, and this is why, you know, forget 401ks and
retirement. Rob, we got eltwitch.com.
Okay, but do you have eltwitch.com?
Okay.
My life insurance advisor?
Yeah. Oh, no. I see your beautiful home here. And I see that you have a nice car in the driveway. But what you don't have, because if I go to eltwitch.com, I don't see your old Twitch streams. Okay.
So, yeah, let the world know about eltwitch.com. Because we're obviously very, very proud of it. Almost there.
Almost, yes.
Money is temporary. Dumb URLs are forever.
As long as you
pay annually, they are forever. Yes.
The streets know it, dude. Rowdy Rebels out. Anything can happen, okay?
So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. If you are listening to this podcast, yes, just a reminder, we tape this live on Twitch with the dopest Twitch chat on El Twitch. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, we had a little bit of a hiccup, a little tech issue, and we had basically Alexis gave me IT help at the top of the stream.
Uh-huh. You got to tune into the stream. If you're just listening to this, you missed me explaining to Christian how computers work, you know what I mean? Which comes full circle because Rowdy Rebel released a song called Computers. Look at that.
Full circle, correct.
Full circle, right? We closed that off.
Obviously we're going to be talking a lot of Premier League today. During the last couple weeks in December is when the FA is just like, you know what, no days off. Mm-hmm. I don't care how many COVID cases are in the area.
Why are we going to sit here and talk about that, right?
Okay. Well, you could be kicking the ball around entertaining moi, okay?
Right? Hey, we're all home now because people are dying. You go out. Kick the ball around a little bit. It's England, baby. Okay, we don't got to take time off.
Look, Harry Kane, you're a first responder. I don't know what to tell you.
You're all essential, okay?
a lot to discuss. How about we just start with some of the matches from today. Should we
it's a fun day.
A fun day. Should we look at the table, Alexis?
I mean, I think this is boring to look at the table. I don't think we should do it. I don't understand why your screen isn't long enough for Arsenal to be there.
Sorry, you mean I had to scroll a little bit.
I'm offended, and I will be speaking to the manager, which is Mikel Arteta for now.
Look at this. All right, so look, who was it? RTAB said, look at Man U with two games in hand. You know, it's interesting with Manchester United because everybody's like mad at them for how they're playing in the Premier League, but they're looking pretty good. They have four wins and one draw, and it's not as bad as people make it seem. It's like everybody's mad at Pogba every week and not getting the results here and there.
But it's because it's Manchester United. You know what I mean? Like they're supposed to be in the top two at all times. God forbid, then it's every manager fired, you know?
8 points back from first is not necessary to, you know, to be like Ali out. That's all I'm saying. Okay. All right.
Yeah, but he is a bad manager. So, yeah. Ole out.
Okay. To you, okay?
Right. Hey, trust me. I know bad managers right now.
West Brom. Elage 15 just mentioned West Brom. They just sacked Slaven Bilic.
But then they called in Mr. Keep Us Up, baby. Sam Allardyce.
Sam Allardyce is back. He was he last managed Everton, and that wasn't particularly fun. You know, he's just the guy. And everybody knows that he's the guy to save teams from relegation.
That's right. It's like living next door to the Puerto Rican woman I grew up next to, because she's going to keep you up. That's what Big Sam's going to do. Keep you up. You know what I mean?
Keep what up exactly?
Keep you up in the Prem. And then this lady is going to keep you up at night as she yells, Anthony, out the window.
Okay. And I want to talk about Sam Allardyce a little bit. I don't know how much he's become this... you know,
he's like a mercenary,
a living legend. Where every time he shows up, he is
to sell the players. Well, that's what you're talking about, right?
He has his own history of like just shady stuff. But he's such a strange, like when I saw that he was getting hired by West Brom, I'm just like, what is this guy's? Does this guy enjoy his life? Like
he's got the easiest job in all of the Premier League. He gets to take the longest vacation, is guaranteed to be hired, and all he has to do is show up and say, hey, everybody defend. And that's it.
It's fascinating that this is his... I don't know his career well enough to where has his longest stint been at?
Wasn't it... that's a great question.
I'm gonna look. So let's look up.
He was the manager of the Three Lions at one point.
Teams managed. Okay, he we're seeing. Okay, what the longest stint had to be Bolton Wanderers, right?
He was at Bolton for a while.
Bolton, yeah.
Yeah, look, he's everywhere. West Ham. He was there for almost 4 years, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at this. This is great.
He was in England for just, I mean, a couple days.
Well, really. Yeah. Remember they caught him trying to sell the players. Here's the thing. Would you rather be, let's say, a Jose Mourinho or him or Sam Allardyce?
I would rather be Mourinho because there's something about the trust and having the bit of stability and longevity. That seems a little, there's a bit more pride. I mean, how much pride does he have in being able to save a team and then being sacked the next, the week after? He is the rebound guy.
He doesn't even take his books out of the boxes when he gets to the office. This is perfect. The guy gets paid millions of dollars. He can name his price because that he's a specialist. Mm. And all he does is sit back and say, don't worry, family. Pretty close to Christmas, I'll have a job. I guarantee it. If not, definitely by January.
Almost there said his longest stint has been in the pub ordering pints of wine.
That's right. He drank wine and pint glasses. You got to love the guy. I mean, he is as stereotypical an example of an English soccer guy as there is.
You know
what? I'd much rather be him than Mourinho any day of the week because Mourinho has more stress. Mourinho's trying to win. Sam is just trying not to lose. It's great.
That is true. And when you think about stress, like I think the mentality and personality, the personalities that are the Premier League managers nowadays, and just managers in general, like it's almost weird to see a manager over, you know, 55 years old, right? Like it's getting Roy Hodgson right at Crystal Palace is all. It's like, yo, man, are you too old? Like it feels because the youth.
He does seem fragile. He seems fragile, right?
Of like Mourinho and Jurgen Klopp and like. You know, Klopp going up to the cop and like doing the whole thing. Like, I can't see Roy Hodgson doing this. You know?
No. They'd have to bring the golf cart out onto the field, stretch him out of there.
So I think when I think of Big Sam and I think of like hang up the, you know, the sweater, dude. Like, it seems like he's
66. He's not that old.
He's not that old. I'm not saying that, but there is something to the like that. This is. For the rest of his coaching career, this will be his like legacy. Not people won't remember him as much as the success at Bolton.
I disagree with you. He has like cult status because of this. You know what I mean? Like, okay. What would you, if you were him, you know you're gonna get hired by the first team that fires their manager that's in 15th position or less, right?
Yeah.
So it's like a running joke, but it happens every year, basically, right? You could look at the stats. It basically happens every year. The guy gets paid millions of dollars. He can name his own price because he's the guy you need when you don't want to fall down into the lower leagues. Where would you go? Would you go to MLS? Would you go to Ligue 1? No, you're not going to go anywhere. You wouldn't even get a job in the championship. You just sit back and wait. If you go 3 or 4 years without getting hired, then you go get another job, right?
Yeah. Who was it? So we just mentioned that. LCAB said Sean Dyche, Big Sam, and Roy Hodgson.
Also Pardew. You can't forget about Pardew.
Alan Pardew. Yeah, there's something to the Premier League and that, you know, those bottom five teams that they just shuffle them around. These managers. SMC Ultra said Arsenal didn't get to him on time.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's making the joke. Okay. I back Arteta. I think we're fine with Arteta. We just need 11 new starters. Now, I don't know where they're going to come from.
Yeah, Tony Pulis as well, John on the bench.
Tony Pulis.
Yeah, there's just that, like, you know, I think because we've been spoiled with these foreign managers, right? And I say foreign, you know, speaking from, I'm not English, obviously, and we're not in England, but yeah. the foreign managers come in with their fancy football gig and
with these modern ideas. Tiki-taka.
You know? Just you know, adapting to the world around them, and but then yeah, the English managers are there's still something. Look, they props to them for still having that. You know, they can win over you know, certain owners and just be like, look, I know this league and I understand what it takes to stay on top, and you don't want to lose your investment. Like these types of hires. Would not happen in MLS, right? Because there's no sense of urgency to bring anyone to save the day.
No, you don't need to stay up, and there's no one that's going to be hired to try to get you in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no need for it. Hey, I just want to make sure that especially all the Spurs fans see this. I believe it was Almost There who said it, right? Oh, no, LCAB said, and Pochettino is still out there. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
This is my to Tottenham is there's a possibility that unless Ole gets fired and Pochettino goes there, it very well could be that if, and I actually think Patrick Vieira would be the next choice, but if Mikel Arteta does get sacked, fired, whatever you want to call it, it very well could be Pochettino that walks in, and I would be very happy.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, not because of the way he manages, just because of the bands, you know.
Would it be as dramatic of a move as like was it Sol Campbell?
Yeah, it would be just as big. You know why? Because and I know he didn't win anything, and that'll be the thing that Tottenham fans say to like get over it as quickly as they can. But I think the reason why it would be a huge deal is because he's kind of like a legend a little bit. Like he is. if Tottenham does fully turn the corner, he will be the reason why you turn the corner. He started that move. He got the club to go from perennial joke, if you will, not really ever getting to that level, not in, in the modern era, to getting to the point where Jose Mourinho would want to go there.
Okay. So let's let's start with the Arsenal match against Southampton. 1-1 goals from Theo Walcott. Two Arsenal players scored here. I don't know how the it ended up in a draw. Theo Walcott scores, and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, Gabriel sent off after a second yellow. Mm-hmm. So there was a question here from Board Martin. Can Arsenal afford to sack Arteta and bring in Partsook? We'll start there, and then we'll talk about the game. Can they afford? I mean,
afford meaning, or is it too late into the season or financially?
Yeah.
I think it is kind of, I mean, it'd be hard to give someone a half season and tell them, go ahead, you know, fix it, baby. They also don't have incredibly different systems, but I'm sure there's a lot of intricacies that are different. I honestly think Arteta needs to chill with his system for a little bit and just say, yo, pull back a little bit. Everybody relax. Yeah, maybe Ozil does get it. OCAB says Ozil will help pay for it if he gets playing time. I think maybe Ozil gets a chance. Maybe Saliba gets a chance. I still don't know what the fuck's going on with Saliba.
So let's talk about the main issues with Arsenal going on right now. Yeah, they're having issues scoring some goals here and there. They've lost, what, 4 at home or something? 5 in a row at home? Yeah. It's been bad. But my main concern, what is up with these red cards? Nicolas Pepe, Granit Xhaka, and now Gabriel. Now, because this wasn't a direct red card. This is not a 3-match ban. This is only one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One match. Okay. And here's the
problem. It's like everyone is trying their hardest. It's that mentality of like they're not playing with any confidence. Everyone's just trying not to be the reason the team fucks up, as opposed to everybody kind of going out there and playing together. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing Granit Xhaka think it's like, oh, all right, if I tackle a little harder, maybe that'll do it.
Well, he choked the guy, so I don't know.
But you know what I mean? He causes issues though with how hard he goes in to tackles and stuff. When you're winning, everyone's like, hooray, you know, but when it's stuff like this, I mean, grabbing somebody by the throat is stupid to begin with. It's VAR. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get away with it, even if people are covering you. And with Gabriel's, it was kind of a soft, I mean, but it is, it's another yellow. It is what it is. To me, it was a little soft for a second yellow. You give that guy a warning and say, hey, one more and you're done. But it is what it is. I mean, Nicola Pepe is stupid with the headbutt. Like, everyone's frustrated and you're seeing it. No one's happy. If Mikel Arteta doesn't start losing his hair from this, then nothing ever will. That man's coif is ridiculous. It is like a teddy bear.
That dude is never growing bald. He's going to start growing hair like literally on his cheeks. You know what I mean? He's going to grow more hair.
Homie's turning into one of the cavemen. Like, I think his hairline is, when he gets stressed, it starts to move down the forehead.
And you say that you think they're not happy. What it could be the problem? Because
losing.
I understand that, but why is it that just a couple months ago they're winning FA Cups, winning Community Shields, having we talked about this last week. Like how could they have fallen so far in just a short amount of time? And then they're having all these chemistry issues, which that seems to be, when I think of Arsenal, I think of a team that generally is always on the same page, you know, they who have fun playing together, that they have a fun, attractive style of football. But there's something wrong there, whether they don't even look like they're even trying to be as creative as they used to be. Maybe they're dialing it back too much. Or maybe it's simply that they're not happy with the way Arteta's managing the team. But it just seems so crazy that just a couple months ago, it was the complete opposite, celebrating like crazy for FA Cup victories. And
because of the trophies he's won, I think he deserves to go through the end till the end of the season, unless it's a relegation battle, in which case you got to fire him just before that. That said,
I love this. Taco Time 247 said, hair thicker than a bowl of oatmeal.
Right?
Like that dude.
whatchamacallit? If you're that guy, if you're that guy, you're probably having a good time in jail. If you're...
I just want to... Jaren also said, LOL. Rem? Who are you referring to, Rem? He started calling Sun a dirty player for his Reds. Now choking people ain't no big deal. LOL.
Probably saying remember. Remember he started calling.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I got to teach Christian internet speak. Thank you, Jaren. I got you. OMG is not good, Christian. If you look at Arsenal players, everyone... You can feel the weight of the club coming down on each one of their shoulders. No one looks happy. Even when Aubameyang finally scored, you could tell that like the criticism isn't going to stop. And everyone says the toughest thing for a new manager is the player management part of it, is the personality management part of it. And I think that that's the problem in the locker room and in the dressing room, is that Arteta isn't getting a chance to sort of have the one-on-ones. Players might be losing confidence in his ability to manage. Maybe they're thinking he's just a system guy. He's just like an offensive coordinator, if you will. And he's not really the right guy to sort of be the manager. Remember, he got hired as a head coach, was promoted to manager. And that's when it all started to fall apart. Clearly a good coach. We're starting to see some cracks in that, in his sort of resume, if you will, when it comes to being a manager. I think he will turn it around. And I'm going to give him the space to do it. I'm not going to say blah, 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 blah. But yo, like your team, at some point you got to be like, all right, you know what? Maybe we don't have the right players for this system, as opposed to forcing it on these players. Maybe we pull back and be a little defensive. We got Aubameyang. Let's maybe start doing a little counterattacking. Because, yo, fam, we haven't made a pass centrally for an assist in a long time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's pissing me off. Everything is all these crosses. We don't have the players for these crosses.
It's strange. I guess when I think of Arsenal, I don't really think of a team, of players with like these huge egos that can't like work together, but it seems like that's kind of where we are. Because every time you see Mikel Arteta in a post game interview, he's just like this frustrated, teacher. You know what I mean? That he's like, I don't know. I try to tell them. I try to tell them to behave, but they're not listening to me. Is there something you can tell them? You know what I mean? Right. This is just like a little bit of a not defeated, but it really is a surprise, especially for a guy who was still playing just not too long ago, to not really. It feels like he can't get through to these players for some reason in just these last couple weeks. And you mentioned Aubameyang. Aubameyang is not. The last couple of weeks has not been this reliable, figure for the team, because he's not really doing that much up front.
He ain't done shit. He ain't done shit for a long time. But, strikers go through slumps. I'm not that worried about it. And by the way, Jaren said that AG talking like a man who's giving his girl space in the hopes that his girl won't dump him, you know? How much space you need? You're going where? I'm not too worried about Mikel Arteta, because I do think he has the people he can call. He can call, Pep Guardiola and say, hey.
And Pep, there was a statement, I don't have it in front of me, but did show support for Mikel Arteta. He said he's one of the, brightest football minds and a great manager. So even still getting support from Pep, which obviously you take it for whatever it's worth to you.
So that's what I'm trying to say. Like, he has the people he can call. Right. And I'm sure he's saying all the right things in the meetings. The difference is you got, and maybe this draw against third place team is what sort of moves you forward. You know what I mean? Maybe this is the thing where you say, like, all right, look, we started off pretty badly. We found a way to score. We found a way to hold on to a draw. We took a point. Let's move on.
Okay. All right, yeah, a lot for them to figure out. Every
and if not, we hire Pochettino and we watch the world burn.
Thank you, Yijor. What's good, everyone? Man United fan from Cali. Boo, I know. Glad I found this stream. Been missing EPL podcast, talk show sounds, and this perfect while I finish up work day. Cheers. Cheers to you, Yijor.
Shouts to you, Yijor.
So,
and I just want to say, by the way, since we're talking about Arsenal, how was Aubameyang's goal scored? He was centered. The ball came in from the center of play. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Okay.
As simple as that. Do the same thing every week, y'all. Okay, let's. I didn't watch every game. Obviously, there were a lot of games on at the same time. But Leeds beat.
Did you see Jack Harrison's goal?
I didn't. Was it great?
Oh my God!
Should I look it up?
Look, it was the fifth goal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know that it was necessary, but it was a worldie for sure.
Okay, look, he hasn't scored since the first game when he scored against Liverpool, which uh-huh. was also. A worldie as well? I thought it was very, very
I mean,
impressive.
Homie only scores worldies, apparently.
but I see he also got an assist as well. Paolo in Minnesota just subscribed. Thank you, Paolo. We appreciate it.
Shouts to you, Paolo. Eight months. Wow.
Crushing it.
Hey, this coquito I'm going to have after this is for you, Baba. So
Robert from L.A. just tweeted this at us. Speaking of just about...
Thanks for the assist.
Thank you for helping... Deliver content up here. Look at this. Look at Arteta in both of those. When Arteta was
don't send us that.
I thought that's pretty clever. Thank you for that. Okay. Jack Harrison scored. And obviously, if you do not know why we fawn over Jack Harrison every week, is obviously because he played for NYCFC. He was the first player that we did a live event. We did like a live podcast at Upper 90 in Brooklyn, New York, which is
our first ever live event.
Yeah,
Jackie Boy.
You can watch on YouTube, and it's really, really great. And some would say that he has found Premier League success because he did that event. That was also his first like thing like that as well. So I don't know.
You're welcome. I'll tell you this much: his mother thanked us, so maybe you should too.
So so he did score. I didn't see the goal. I feel like I should look it up. Is it anywhere? Can somebody link me? I can.
If you just put Leeds into Google, it should pop up.
Okay.
And you might just have to scroll forward in the highlights. But it's towards the end of the match because it is the fifth goal. But one of the things that I love about the way Jack Harrison is playing. RCAB said, "Oh yeah, don't Google it. Bing it. We got to bing it, baby. Yeah. Oh, look, it's in the
I bing. You know how we bing it.
Oh, you know how we do, baby. Bing, 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 bing. Okay, that's the sound of that bing money coming through. It's also in the chat if you want to just click on it.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
What you call it? That stupid picture of Arteta and and Theo Walcott killing my soul." Everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break up with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, Gully Squad. The last during quarantine, Gully Squad has not only become a dope soccer community, but it's becoming a vital space for my emotional well-being.
Okay? Yes, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have anyone to talk to a lot of the time. And also, I would not know what an apple crisp is.
Okay, yeah, we are. There's so much communication and sharing of food. It's I don't really dwell in that channel too much.
No, you're not allowed to. Your girl can see it on your face that you're looking at food.
She goes through my phone not to look for like texts from other girls. She's
booty pick, booty pick, booty pick sandwich.
Sam, what is this? How dare you betray me like this?
She's messaging me, homewrecker.
Gully Squad is obviously the Cooligans community. Of people that are fans of soccer, fans of comedy, fans of food, fans of pizza. It's an opportunity to help support the content that we put out, help us put out more content that we can deliver to the masses, and also get some exclusive content for yourself. So there's a bunch of really cool things going on in there. We have an amazing Slack channel that may or may not exist. Who knows?
Hey, even though we just talked about it.
Exactly, but it's vague. It's very vague. So you can join at any level. You can join, you can give like $5, $10, you can give more. If you give more, there's more perks involved, like merch and a pin and stickers and different things like that. So it's if you're a fan of soccer, if you're a fan of comedy, we highly recommend you joining, and it definitely helps the show grow, so we can do a bunch of other fun things. In 2021, when we can finally finally travel. We can be able to go do live shows and do live events and do a lot of other things like that. So
plus you get some really exclusive stuff, like when we release the pins, you get a pin for joining.
That's right.
When we release the pop socket, you got a pop socket for joining, stuff like that. So there's a lot of really good exclusive stuff. It's not just being a part of the Slack channel that may or may not exist, but trust me, that's a dope part of it.
Very much so. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button now.
If you look at the way Jack Harrison is playing, he's not, I wouldn't say he's sort of lighting it up, but he's clearly deserves to be there. And he clearly is one of the better players. And I have a feeling if Leeds doesn't stay up, which I think they will, he'll find another team in the Premier League. That's how good he is. Which at the end of the day, right, when you're a kid and you're in an academy like he is at Manchester United, that's all you really want, right? You just want to play in the Prem.
Yeah, let's take a look at Jack.
Are we going to get in trouble?
No, we are not. It's very small on the screen.
Watch this.
Beautiful.
Come on. Why'd you give him that much space? Why'd you give him that much time?
That man spent too much time in the Bronx. Don't give him space.
Nah, fam. He's like, yo, look at this. He's social distancing. You could fit like 3-4 hookahs in between me and this guy.
That was incredible. He's been having a bit of a rough go the last couple weeks. He's been getting subbed out of matches. Mm-hmm. I think, Bielsa is like, not sure exactly where. Some weeks, that he's just not having the consistency that he would like to see. But it's really, every time I watch Jack Harrison, not only is there like a pride of like, oh man, I'm so happy for him. But then he's in like tough situations. He's obviously a winger. He gets, there's usually a midfielder and a fullback trying to like get the ball away from him. I'm like, yo, Jack, he's probably gonna lose the ball here because it's the Premier League and these guys, they're very, very aggressive. And I'm like, oh, he escaped that.
Oh, oh, he just top binged that joint. He top binged that joint.
Only upper bing. that's all we hit out here. It impressed me. I'm glad that he got another goal. Hopefully, he just consistently gets more minutes. But it's just Marcelo Bielsa believes in this kid, and it's
kept him on the squad. And the rule is right. His contract is. Like there's a certain amount, like they have the option to buy from Manchester City. So it very well could be that if he plays really well this year, that he is a Leeds player through and through. And
possibly.
He's from that area. So
yeah. So, but you know what? I honestly think because he's playing so well in the Premier League, I don't think Man City's going to let him go. I think he's playing well enough to play for Manchester City outright. Let me know if you disagree.
Jed on the bench said he's a left binger, right? It's a good position to be in, This is where you make the real money. Left winger, no thank you. Left binger, hey. I can't see Manchester City wanting him, expecting him to start. I could see him being good enough to play for Manchester City for sure. But I just feel like he's so perfect for Leeds. You know what I mean?
He is. He is perfect for Leeds, but I don't think it's crazy to think that he can play for Manchester City.
Crazy at all.
Riyad Mahrez is great, right? And he's not regularly starting, and he also doesn't. He's had a couple bad games, but he has those moments of brilliance, which is why Pep, definitely has faith in him and believes in him. But I could see if Mahrez ever leaves, Jack could take that spot to some degree. I'm not saying
I could
he's
see
as
him
good
being
as,
like
as
the
Mahrez.
The 1A, the 1A, the 1B, if you will, midfielder / winger / binger. You know what I mean?
Almost there, said Jackie Aaron replacing Sterling, Ferran, or Mahrez. I think he could replace Mahrez. I think so.
He may not be able to bump them off the lineup, but he would be able to replace them if they ever left the club.
Yeah, I think so too. But also, when he first got to Leeds and they lost in the promotion playoff, that fell. They lost to Frank Lampard's Derby. He was at Derby County, right?
Yeah.
And it seemed like, okay, this seems like where Jack kind of fits. He's a championship level player. But then seeing him in the Prem, I'm like, yo, Leeds is not getting relegated.
I said they were going to finish seventh, and I don't think that's going to happen. But they're definitely not going to get relegated.
Yeah, Harrison would have to step up his game. He didn't pass enough in the lead up to that goal. I don't know if that's. I mean, he scored an amazing goal, right?
He also took it all the way himself. Who's he supposed to pass it to?
I mean,
was he going to pass to someone who's not going to score that banger?
Harrison's assist was amazing too. I did not see that one either, but he did get an assist, and that's what I think. Jack is should be having more assists than goals. He was the when they were in the championship, he was the assist leader. Or was the assist leader for Leeds, which is again saying a lot from a kid that came from college and then in the U.S. and then MLS, and he's settling in just fine. So okay, so all right, the other game I wanted to talk about is Everton played Leicester. Did you get to watch this game?
I did not, but I see Everton won, and I'm sure that's why you want to fucking talk about it.
I want to talk about it for a couple reasons, mainly because of I think Carlo Ancelotti has to get a lot of credit with tactically what he's kind of been able to put together when there's so many injuries, right? Lucas Digne is out. Seamus Coleman is out. Allen just got hurt today, pulled up a hamstring. He was doing one of these. He was doing like one of these where like he thinks he tore
dislocated
something
it,
or
yeah.
pulled a hamstring. You don't dislocate a hamstring.
You know what I mean.
Okay.
Also, you don't know that.
James is out as well, John on the bench mentioned. And the fact that two clean sheets in a row is really, that is the miracle, in my opinion, because that is they made Leicester City had a couple decent chances, but the fact that they the back line is four center backs. It's really surreal.
Speaking of Pulis and Ray Hodgson and Sam Allardyce, four center backs as your back line.
Mason Holgate, who is like a converted fullback, but he's been playing center back often. Michael Keane, center back. Yeremina, obviously a center back. Ben Godfrey, brought in to be a backup center back. And they are, Carlo's just figuring this out. He's just like, all right, this is what I got left. Y'all better learn how to like move laterally, whatever it is it takes to play this position. The fact that they are fifth in the table. I did not think after the string of losses, the red cards, I did not think Everton will be this close to first, which is where we belong.
I think it's honestly, if I could say, I think it's selfish of Everton to be up that high on the standings or the table. And I think it would be nice because it's the holiday season, right? It's the time of giving. If you were to just swap with Arsenal. Now, I think right off the bat, it sounds like a no, right? But if you think about it, it gets closer to a yes.
I guess, yeah. Well, maybe, you have the show like wife swap. You can do, but it's like position swap.
Or table swap. table swap.
Mike Wonder said, I like how Christian is on first name basis with the coach. Hey, what can I say?
Right. Oh, Carlo. Carlito.
Hey, George. Oh, Charlie A. That's my man.
Jazz. What's up, Jazz?
Carlo, the Queen's Gambit, Ancelotti. Have you seen the Queen's Gambit?
No, I haven't. It's about... chess.
It's about chess. But it is a good show. I enjoyed it. It's like a little, not predictable. It's a little bit like you don't have too much sympathy for the main character, where you're like, well, the main character is a bit of a douche. Why is everybody so nice to this girl? Because she's good at chess. She's like.
I've seen the clip of her, the one they autoplay on the Netflix app.
Yeah.
Where she goes to sign up and she's like, all right, well, put me in open. And they're like, you do not want to do that. And she's like, okay, bye. I've seen that maybe four or five times.
Yeah. It's, but it was good. It definitely was entertaining. I definitely learned a lot about chess. Do you play chess?
I did. I did for a long time when I was in grammar school, elementary school, as you guys call
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I was very good. I started being bad at it when people started learning like multiple styles. Because then I could be fooled because I wasn't willing to study the different styles. I got a book on it. I was like, I'm not reading a book about chess. And that's when I was like, peace.
Almost There said, get Alexis to watch Lovecraft Country. And I'll say this, Alexis will...
Is that about like country music?
No. It's about like just like race, like pretty much like racism and segregation. But it is essentially... The show starts definitively about like racial issues and then gets into a sci-fi world that this is where you're going to lose Alexis. Right?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done. As soon as something hovers and flies off, I've written it off.
Nick Lay said, boring is the word you're looking for. I think we're referring to Queen's Gambit.
Some people have said it's boring. I've already seen some parodies.
I like it. I thought it was good. I mean, whatever. It's not the best show in the world, but I found it entertaining. Okay. Yes. Everton wins against Leicester City. Impressive to hold off Jamie Vardy. And Pickford didn't start this game either. And to get a clean sheet as well was also pretty impressive. We have to talk about Liverpool and Spurs.
I cannot wait to talk about it. I'm excited to talk about it.
Because obviously Liverpool wins 2-1, but is there controversy? I don't know how much. I mean, I think this was really on Tottenham to they had this game. If was it Steven Bergwijn? If he does his job that he is hired to do, he looked good enough,
which is just enough for me.
So. Wazel Jazelboff said Tottenham choked, and I love saying that name before any other sentence.
It brings me joy to hear it. It brings me joy to see it.
Tori Fest said we missed so many chances. There was something about the we missed. It hurts, doesn't it? So the fact that a great goal from Son Heung-min. He was incredible.
Incredible goal. Incredible. And look, that's what you pay him for, right?
Salah with the deflection, you know, it is what it is. It happens. But let's talk about the last goal in the 90th minute. Tottenham, this happened when they played against West Ham, I believe, when it ended up with that banger of a goal in like the end of the game. Where they were up 3-0 and then it ended up 3-3. Was it West Ham? Yeah, that was West Ham. This is, you know, what I love about Premier League. This and I don't like this about MLS is that because of promotion relegation, I always find that regular season games in MLS are easier to forget, even if something crazy happened. But in Premier League, every game feels like a playoff game to some degree, and I vividly remember. That even though a couple weeks ago, but even games that are like years ago, the game when Everton played against
LCAB said unless you're NYCFC. I think I also think it's the fact that there's so many more teams in MLS, so there's so many more games.
Yeah,
and whenever the playoffs start, they're like forget everything from before.
What was the team that got relegated? Eddie Howe, the manager. Why am I forgetting their name?
It starts with a B. Bournemouth.
Bournemouth. The game Everton against Bournemouth, where.
By the way, this was their badge. That's what I was doing here.
Where. Ross Barkley celebrated too long and then ended up adding time to the game where Bournemouth ended up tying it and then ended in a draw. Stuff like that. I just find that happens to me so often with Premier League. I'm like, I have more vivid memories of Premier League matches, regular, you know, obviously regular season Premier League matches.
John on the bench said Bournemouth. I believe you mean Bournesley. Thank you very much.
Okay. So. Oh, wait, LCAB said, are we going to talk Arsenal and Burnley? That's right.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, right?
Yeah, no, we're not going to talk about it. I do want to bring something. Are you switching subjects? Or are you still going to bring
no,
it up?
No, I was going to continue with this game, yeah.
Okay, go for it.
All right, so, the goal at the end, I mean, late stunner, Roberto Firmino. So, I also don't like this. They call him Bobby Firmino. How do you feel about Bobby Firmino?
He wants that.
I don't love it.
I don't like it either. The dude's Brazilian.
What is Bobby? They don't call anybody Bobby in Brazil.
Let's call we should be Robertinho Firmino.
I'll say it become Bobby Chompers. Hey, all
right. Yeah. To me, it's like those are the moments where you look at a club like Liverpool, obviously not having the season they had last year, but those are the moments where you're like, oh, okay, they still got it. And also, these are the top two clubs going against each other. My favorite part of it was afterwards. Jose Mourinho told Klopp, the better team lost. All right, Trump.
That was you saw them come together and Klopp was smiling. Speaking of Chompers.
That's what he does. You know what I mean? Like, he's not really the type. He'll bring it up in the post meeting interview, whatever, the post match interview. But he won't. He's not that confrontational. I don't think he's that quick. I think in German he was saying some wild shit in his head. Okay. You know what I mean? He was like, Guten Tag. You know, he was in his head. It sounded mad. Like, everyone would be like, yo, are they marching? Are they tanks? You know what I mean? But he just kind of smiled. He was like, yeah, okay. Also, he won. He was like, you can talk all the shit you want.
Well, Mourinho, after the game, did say that, that he was critical. Mourinho does this, and maybe it's part of the strategy or whatever, but he makes things about not the actual... Not the stuff that happens in between the lines, you know?
He literally does what Trump does. It's like, if you're upset about one thing, he throws a grenade over there. He's like, look at this thing over there. It's kind of what Jose Mourinho has been doing forever.
He did the thing where he said he basically said, like, oh, he was and he's great at this where he doesn't say anything too derogatory. But he leads the interviewer in that direction, and then they say it, and he's like, yes, yeah. So the guy who's interviewing him was like, oh, yes, Jurgen Klopp was very animated. He's like, yes, he was very animated.
I'm glad you said that, not me. I want everyone – I would love the FA to recognize.
Like, because if I did something like that, I would get a fine or, be banned or anything like that. He is just so good at that.
And it's all marionettes with him. Like, he understands – this is someone who understands the power of the English media. And he was like, all right, I'll use it to my advantage. The one thing is that it doesn't take away from the fact that people just recognize him as kind of a jerk. You know what I mean? He's kind of an asshole, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Almost there said, Mourinho said he had to sub GLC. Why do I not know who that is? Because Klopp was bugging the ref about his yellow.
Oh, because he was reminding him that he had a yellow?
Yeah, yeah. So look, Klopp can be. I don't know the detail. I mean, I know he's like an animated dude, and he's like he shows a lot of energy, a lot of Lo Celso. Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know the sort of politics of like how other managers feel about him, or if he's like really obnoxious or annoying. He doesn't necessarily seem that way. But I don't know.
Just said clop clop.
Speaking of chomp chomp, and that's clop clop.
Clop clop. I think if you're a manager, you don't really have the opportunity to run plays. You don't have the opportunity to call timeouts. The only thing you really have for each 45 is the ability to influence the match any way you can, and whether that's yelling at a player to get wider, go forward, do this. Or as the official walks by, you go, come on, man, he's already got a yellow. Help me out here. You know, I remember the manager that I had, the soccer coach that I had, who was the Costa Rican dude who was on work release, and his parole officer came like, you know, blinked out. The dude had like a gun on him the whole time to make sure that my coach would go back to jail after the game, not run off. He actually said, we always used to get mad at him because he would get mad at us and not the official. And we're like, yo, get mad at the official. And he told me once, he was like, if I get mad at the official, then I'm never going to get a call. He's like, when the official comes by, I have to go, come on, man, you missed that one. My guys are getting hurt. You know, protect our players. And it was, and it worked. He would get the next call. It would get the call after he said that because he was being not playful, but he wasn't being like, you're trash, you're garbage. Then you're never going to get the call. So, yeah.
But everybody, smart guy. Everybody is absolutely concerned in the chat. Taco Time said, they let a guy like that coach kids?
Uh-huh, because no one else wanted to.
Okay, so he was vetted. Don't worry about it.
I mean, this is again, I grew up in Newark,
all
folks.
Their options.
I grew up in Newark, folks. They'd be like, you want to work with kids? Get out there and work with those kids.
Oh, my goodness. So, a tough loss for Tottenham. I don't know if this is going to be one that they will regret because this is, I mean, you know, probably this game, Tottenham should have won this game. I mean,
I don't agree why everyone is saying, and I'm not even hating on Tottenham. There was 80-20 possession.
I'm not saying that they were the better team. I'm not saying that they were the better team per se, but they did have the better chances.
I disagree. I think there was two deflections that went right into Hugo Lloris's hands. Lloris, sorry, he's French. He's not a Latino. Hugo, papa. There were two shots that went off. And there was, there were a couple shots that were deflected out of the way. I think it was relatively even. And I do think Liverpool, certainly not towards the end of the match. I think they were looking like the momentum had switched. But then they came back and they scored. The same thing that Tottenham did at the beginning of the match.
Sure. But and I actually want to talk a little bit about Eric Dier and what he was doing at that last corner kick. And like what he there was some contact. I forgot who he bumped into. I think he was kind of pleading to the ref for like that somebody set a pick or something like that. But there was next to no contact, and he really collapsed. Like if he got run over by a Mack truck.
That's kind of what Mourinho teams do, though. And I'm not even mad at it, but they are like a dark arts. He's a dark arts kind of manager, you know.
But if he stays up. And he can probably get in the way of Firmino, or at least I forgot who was the, I think it was Harry Kane or Højbjerg or whatever that was, that they couldn't mark somebody or whatever. Like somebody had to mark two people because Eric Dier is on the ground, and Eric Dier is a big dude who clears the ball very well. Mm-hmm. So it just seemed like a poor decision at that time to do that. And cost the team the game.
I'm never a fan of someone trying to draw a penalty unless it helps my team. You know what I mean? And then then I understand. It's a good tactic, you know?
Luke Sergio said, a Big Mac truck right in his little garage? See, this is why.
I like where your head's at, though.
We couldn't do this show without y'all, okay?
No, nor could we do it on TV because of y'all.
Oh, man. Nick Lay said, a soccer player diving? No way. Tottenham's games to lose, not a Liverpool win. Look, we got some Tottenham fans in here not happy about the result. You have an Everton fan here that is mad at Tottenham also for allowing Liverpool to win. A draw would have been beneficial for Everton.
Any chance we have of St. Tottenham's Day, and I know there isn't one, we need Tottenham to lose. So shout to Tottenham losing.
St. Tottenham's Day will at some point just be a myth. People will be like, what holiday?
That's going to show how old I am because I remember St. Tottenham's Day.
Look how far.
We're 14 points. It's not insane.
But just, forget the point. Look at the
we're
position.
Social distancing. We've got respect.
Okay. You know, Arsenal is pretty much Tom Cruise right now on set, you know, just screaming at people to keep their masks on.
One more fucking time. and you. Those are great. I love when actors just blow. That's like a goal of mine is to be big enough to just yell at an entire production. I can't wait.
I would be so wildly embarrassed if you yelled at like the FUBO production team.
I would never. Like, they're great people, but I mean, like, if I'm ever on a movie, I kind of had to say something when I was on that photo shoot for again, this guy right here, the face of a diabetes drug.
Okay,
but I had to say something because there was like very strict protocols for COVID, and two people came back from the bathroom with their masks down, and I was like, hey. You're not supposed to be in here. And everyone is looking at me. I'm the only one who can see them because everyone's focused on what's happening. You know, the talent, this guy, you know, and I'm the only one who can see them.
Here. Okay.
Okay. Allow me and my dad jeans you're making me wear to scoop water out of his boat virtually, which is what I'm doing. It's so heavy handed, but could have done that at Fubo at Live X, Alexis. Wait a minute. Who the fuck is Jazzle Wazzlebuff?
Wazzle Jazzle. Don't get Wazzle Jazzlebuff's name incorrect.
Who the fuck is Wazzle Jazzlebuff?
Were you a LiveX employee?
Oh, man.
Hello, if you were.
What up, Wazzle Jazzlebuff? yeah, so you know I'm a nice guy. I don't yell. I'm everyone's talking like, I'll get up and get my own coffee, my own water. I'm not one of those dudes that like, they're like, hey, we have people to bring it to. I'm like, let them relax. But I had to be like, yo, fam, put your mask back on. And people turned around and got scared. And the one lady was like, hey, we have like blah, blah, blah. You know, like there's serious considerations for shit like that. But I wasn't like, one more fucking time. I really want to be big enough to do that. And then it's the person's fault that I yelled at, not mine.
Yeah, there's no repercussions. You'll be able to blow a gasket.
People are like, stop upsetting Alexis. Like that's what happens.
Okay, look, Alexis, we'll pay you more, please.
Yeah, please stop being upset. I wanted to talk to you about this because this kind of went viral, right? Somebody put out a tweet, two photos. It was, let me see if I can pull it up. It's Jamie Vardy scoring a hat trick, and it's a picture of Wayne Rooney at Derby County, and it said Vardy at 33, Rooney at 33, and it goes nuts, right?
Oh, hold up. Before you continue, Wazzle Jazzbuff said, I did some sound for y'all. I had since quit that life. Y'all were the best show I worked there.
Hey!
Thank you so much. That really does mean a lot. So, yeah, look at that. Everybody, listen to Wazzle Jazzlebuff. Look at that. We're also nice people.
See? And including me. With. Everyone assumes you are. It's me that surprises everyone.
Well,
Kuzikovsky said, Alexis is definitely big enough. Yes.
Okay, Wazzle Jazzlebuff. Need an audio guy? Hit me up. Okay, we'll keep that in mind.
Actually, yeah, I need to figure out what the hell's going on with my board. So shoot me a DM or something, Wazzle Jazzlebuff. So the picture is Vardy with a hat trick, Rooney at 33, Vardy at 33. And it's the implication is that Vardy is a better player than Rooney was, right? Mm-hmm. In the end, right? And then someone was like, no, people peak at different times. Here's Rooney at 24, and he's holding like the Player of the Year award or a Golden Ball. I can't tell exactly what the award is. And Vardy at 24, and it's him gasping for air playing for Fleetwood Mac, right? Now here's the thing: both players are the last two English players to ever be at least in consideration for a Ballon d'Or, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Rooney did it in 2014. I think Vardy did it in 2016, if I'm not mistaken, 2018 maybe. If Vardy plays another 2 years at this level, right, at the level he is now, will he go down as a better player than Wayne Rooney? Better English player?
Not unless he goes to DC United and scores some, you know,
you need a banger.
Some bangers.
Yeah, we're going to get a – you need to stop a play midfield, and then you need to send the perfect cross – so that the shortest guy ever to play the game heads the ball in for a winner. And if not, then I can't trust you.
Literally the Muggsy Bogues of MLS.
Yeah.
Getting a header. Vardy at NYCFC. Vardy and MLS would be absolutely fascinating.
It would be amazing. Well, he currently drinks Red Bulls before the games. He wouldn't be allowed to do that if he went to NYCFC. He'd have to get with Monster.
He would go, you know, they say Vardy likes to party. I mean, Vardy going playing those Atlanta away days, Magic City. I mean, just
Taco Time said, quick, someone Photoshop Vardy with Fleetwood Mac. Or at least riding a skateboard drinking Ocean Spray. Yeah. One of the two.
Vardy to Miami. Yeah. Because he's like just stupid fast, right?
Never be able to handle that weather. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. It'd be interesting. Yeah. Where could he play?
He'd have to go to Toronto. He couldn't handle it. Maybe Minnesota. But they play a perfect style for him. I kind of think if another two seasons go by where Vardy stays at this level and he's at 35 years old and he's won the Premier League, right? He's been a national team player. He's been, considered for the Ballon d'Or.
But no.
I got to think he had a better career than Wayne Rooney.
Rooney had a much earlier start. He was playing at Everton.
Did he achieve as much?
16 years old.
Played on a better team.
Did he achieve as much? He won multiple titles with Manchester United.
Played on a better team.
Of course.
And he didn't have the longevity. He didn't have the longevity that Vardy had.
He's still playing now. What are you talking about? He didn't have longevity.
In the championship.
This is his first year in the championship. Jamie Vardy didn't get to the Premier League till he was, 23, 24.
And look what he did.
He led
Rooney, a team called Leicester City to win the Premier League.
Look, Lousy Human Val said, Rooney's still England's top scorer. I'm not saying that you can't even have a little bit of the conversation and not to take away from Jamie Vardy's accomplishments.
You're not giving me if he plays two more years at this level. Not at the level of just Premier League, at the level he's playing today, scoring multiple goals throughout a season, constantly being the main guy for their team. Remember, even towards Rooney, towards the end of Rooney's Manchester United career, he was more of a bench player towards the end.
I just don't even understand why are we comparing these two specific players?
Because they're both English.
What is their connection?
They're both English.
Besides their wives hating each other.
Because they're English.
But there's plenty of other English players that we could compare.
Yeah, but this is what English media does. If we're going to have a Premier League show, we're going to have stupid arguments that just upset everybody. I mean, what don't you understand?
Whatever. I guess... In the chat, let us know what you like. We're just like, now we're just trying to drum up engagement, you know?
Well, all of you at once, right? Just put who do you think?
We're trying to reach 50 people chatting at the same time. We currently have 50 viewers. I want to see everybody contributing to this very important debate.
Here's my question, and I need you to answer as opposed to constantly do what you do, which is be like, I hate confrontation and I don't want to have this. The argument is stupid. Everyone shut up. Mom and dad, stop arguing.
Conversation.
Here's the conversation.
This is why I hate most English and most Premier League related shows. Everybody's like, yeah, it's not a big club. No, this is a big club. You got to do this for a big club. Big club, big club, big club. It's just what this penis envy that is clearly
sports is a let's count the veins. The more veins wins. That's what sports
is. Who
cares? It's a perpetual dick size contest. Look, here's the thing. Answer me this. If Vardy was on Manchester United all those years, and if Rooney was on Leicester City or had the route that Vardy had, who would be let's just say Leicester City versus Manchester United. If you swap the players, who would have had a better career? I think Vardy, having the option to have a better team, is a better player throughout. I don't think Rooney makes Leicester City a better club. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does make sense to me. Do I care? Absolutely not. But I understand the point you're trying to make. I'll say it. So Vardy's 131 goals behind top scorer for Leicester. He has 142. Okay. Highest is 273.
Aussie AB, very quick on the bing. All right, I'll give you that. All right. Now, here's what I will say is those clubs have been around for 100 years.
Who has 273 goals for Leicester City? I mean, they must be counting the Sunday League when they were.
That's what Leicester City was just. That's preseason. That's training.
Yeah. Just every. FIFA. You got to count FIFA.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh, no. He was playing last week. How many did you score? I told you to keep it on intramural.
Put it on the stats. Oh, goodness.
Arthur Chandler, I can guarantee you, or Arthur Rowley has 265. These names tell me these stats are from 1942 or less.
Classic English names. Yes. Okay. Look. All right. I think we should start wrapping up the, anything else? If there's anything else we didn't talk about that you would like us to talk about, put it in the chat. Maybe we
oh, wait, did you see the video I put in the Slack?
What video? Oh, I see it here.
Yeah, I think you can play that.
Okay.
It's the whistle. It's the whistle to start the match, the kickoff whistle. And
I saw this.
This is Tottenham versus Crystal Palace.
This is over the weekend, yes.
Just focus on Benteke and Son at the bottom of your screen.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Here comes the whistle. And there goes Benteke with a nice spin move. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Wait.
Everybody kneeling. Everybody kneeling.
No, you don't understand. We know, say no to racism, but Benteke.
But I say yes to goals.
he's like, no, I'm running away from the racism. Yeah, I gotta get away. I need this away from my life. Okay?
I felt like the racism was right there, so I came all the way over here. You know, dude, I love how he did the thing of, like, kid at school. You know, like at gym class where you try to, like, sneak back, like, hey, no one could see me.
Literally, he's like doing a Rainbow Six crawl back to his other
He's
side.
Got the Rambo, like, bamboo sticking out of his mouth so he could breathe.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was pretty funny. There's something, you know, everybody's so hyped up before a match that they forget that they're trying to make a point because – too many racist fans that need to be reminded to not be racist.
I also love how Son was like, there was a split moment. Son clearly was holding him, being like, no, get back. This is going to look bad for you, you know? This is going to look bad. But in the beginning, when he first hit the spin move, you know, Son was like, it's the jig is up. They're not doing the kneel. Everyone go. Okay. It's a trap.
It was a ruse this entire time. They were planning this exact moment.
This is what it was all meant for. Everybody got covered
to blindside us. Oh my God. Pretty wild.
Shouts to Benteke. Hey, you got to use every advantage you get, baby.
Well, all right, and we'll wrap up on this. A bunch of people are asking, Everton or Arsenal this weekend?
The answer is yes.
Yeah, what are we thinking?
I think Arsenal is going to win by one goal. And the only reason I think that is because most of Everton's team has been carted off, okay? Or is in the physios
Who's
table.
Home? This is at Goodison with fans.
Yeah, I think Arsenal got this. I think Arsenal don't want to play at home anyway.
I think Everton is winning this game. They're already two clean sheets. Arsenal, offensively, not doing much.
Come on, son. You got four center backs, my G, with our wingers, with our bangers running up and down. Bro, it's a wrap. It's a wrap for you.
Our SEO is crazy right now. You ain't going to stop us.
Yo, they've got a left banger, a right banger. We got to work on it.
Nicolay said, Arsenal 0, Everton 7. I like that.
Trash. You swap it. I think it's going to be Arsenal 2, Everton 1. That's my thing.
I think it's going to be 2-0 Everton. I don't think Arsenal's scoring in this game.
Dude, we'll draw two penalties. We'll draw three penalties. Don't act like we won't. We didn't even talk about Messi and PSG rumors going brazy.
Just more rumors. We know Messi's unhappy.
It seems like it's pretty official at this
point. When there's real evidence, you know? More, I need Mino Raiola tweeting about what Messi's doing.
You saw Mino Raiola say that Zlatan wasted his time in MLS?
Just the wild disrespect. Just text a middle finger to Don Garber while you're at it.
You ain't got to say all that. Damn.
Jesus. And there's something about waste of time that's like so much more disrespectful than even being like
I mean, he is old. You know, Zlatan's like 38 now.
I mean, I hate stuff like that mainly because
someone
like,
bing that. How old is he?
How old is he? Yeah, I think he's 39, right? I believe he's 39.
He's almost 40.
So it was CCL tonight.
That's right, Atlanta.
Hopefully, they don't suffer like NYCFC did. That was not pretty. Really, really bad.
That's right. Dortmund fired their coach. Arteta's going to Dortmund, baby.
It's a perfect fit. all right, everybody. Thank you, everybody listening to the podcast. Thank you for listening. Again, we do this on Twitch every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern. As long as my computer is functioning, it lasted so far.
Don't be talking too crazy because it might just shut down right now.
So we appreciate it, everybody. So if people... If you're listening to this on Thursday, and for the people watching on Twitch, listen to our podcast, watch the show on Fubo Sports Network. This week is wild. We had an awesome, awesome episode with Derek Etienne Jr., just won MLS Cup. And then and on our show, it's crazy. The fact that we're even at a point where a player that just scored in the MLS Cup Finals, like, yeah, I want to. This is the first show I want to do.
Yeah, this is where I want to have my first interview. And by the way, it's insane, insane that we get MLS players. Never mind ones that just scored in one MLS Cup. That's insane.
Very, very crazy. And it's also insane that we get U.S. Women's National Team and NWSL players, because tomorrow or today, if you're listening to this podcast, Christy Mewis of the Houston Dash and the U.S. Women's National Team is on the show.
She's incredible, too.
And it's super fun. So just a really, really fun week of shows. Nicolas is saying Christian's wild disrespect about with Derek Etienne. Apparently, the joke of when you asked Derek Etienne about where should he take MLS Cup if he wants to celebrate, where would he want to take a photo with it? And I said Red Bull Arena, in front of Red Bull Arena. I thought that was funny. Some Red Bull fans were not. Thought that was a little
apparently that upset a few. Yeah.
Hey, they let him go. Anyway, I thought we're just having fun. He also hit back with I'll take a photo with it in front of Yankee Stadium. So
that's right. He remembers his roots.
Yeah. He puts us in our place when necessary,
so to speak.
Yes. Christy Mewis episode. Absolutely awesome. You will.
She's
love
incredible.
It.
Yeah.
So fun and funny. So please check it out. That's airing Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time at 7. And if you are in, it's obviously Central, 7 p.m. Central, if you are in that time zone. All right. That's it. Yeah. Follow us at Soccer Cooligans on everything. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That would be super dope. You could just smash that subscribe button. Sorry for the audio, please, automatically. Just smash that subscribe button. All the Prem Show episodes live there. And we'll be adding a bunch of other stuff, too. So,
and don't all you have to do is put exclamation point socialos, as Colo Blanco just put. It's just socials, exclamation point socials.
That sounds like a cool, new cereal.
Right? Socialos.
Tastes like Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. I'd give it 1,000 likes.
Why haven't somebody make this? This will sell. This is great.
It's little Instagram logos, little Twitter logos. This is genius.
All right. This is great. Okay. Please subscribe to youtube.com/soccer.
Did you see what happens if you put exclamation point wings?
Yes. Oh, wait, no. Alexis loves a big part of them. Yes, I do see that.
Jesus Christ.
One more nutmeg. Yes, let's go back to nutmeg. I don't know where nutmeg is back.
We'll find out when you switch the camera to it. That's the surprise.
I just want to make sure. Nutmeg is, he has a bed, but he is sleeping on a towel.
See, this is what happens when my wife is out for the weekend or something. This is what I do. I sleep on the couch.
I'm like, you're not. He's not in trouble. He didn't do anything wrong,
right?
But that's where he's chilling right
and
now.
And look, the Furbo survived one more day.
Furbo did make it. Thank you, everybody, for the subs, and just all the support. I know Nutmeg appreciate it. I think he's about to. His ear is currently in his water bowl. So that's interesting too.
I feel the cool sensation.
But yes, another fun episode in the books. Everybody, thanks for listening. If you are listening to this podcast and you're on the Apple Podcast app right now, please leave a review. It would help. It helps us get, helps more people hear about this show. I know maybe some people don't want the Twitch chat to get too packed. You know what I mean? It's like, it's going to be like a nightclub in here.
All right. We're going to be like, let me see your shoes. Shouts to the Cisco Kid 23. He said, thank you for the stream. Perfect way to break the cherry. LOL. Thank you.
Okay.
Cisco Kid for believing in us.
You know, it's just such a flippant, perfect way to break the cherry. Just like, imagine anybody talked about losing their virginity.
Imagine you just finished making love for the first time, and the girl's like, thanks, boss. Slap you on the shoulder. Way to break my hymen, my G.
Good looking out, fam. I really appreciate that.
You really put in work there. You know? We both got a lot to work on. I'm not going to lie to you. But you went in there, and you handled your business. You got busy.
We got a good foundation, all right?
You know?
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it, everybody. All right. So with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!